Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Important law update for the state of Maine from the HR Power Hour. Next week, on September 17, 2019, the amendment to the Maine Human Rights Act and Equal Pay Law goes into effect. The law specifically prohibits employers from asking about a prospective employee's compensation history until after the employer has extended a job offer that includes the compensation terms. Also, employers can't make inquiries directly to the candidate's current or former employer. Employers may not stop current employees from discussing their own or another's employee's wages. And thus today, we're talking with Karen Whitley, shareholder, employment attorney, and member of the Labor and Employment Group for Sheehan Finney, a great law firm in New Hampshire that is a great sponsor of the HR Power Hour. Karen, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am very well, thanks.
Awesome. Well, you know, we're going to be having some fun today. And first of all, shout out to your boss, of course, Jim Breedy, who has been on this show many, many times. And we appreciate, by the way, Sheehan Finney being a sponsor of the show.
Happy to do it.
So we're going to be talking today about something that I think is really important for the HR professionals to really wrap their heads around. And this really has to do with compensation today, the legal risks of compensation, especially now in an era of you can't ask questions. And candidates, of course, won't tell you anything. So this is a really new age in terms of really understanding the hiring process, doing it right, the risks involved, the laws that are involved. We got a lot of states changing and morphing. Tell me a little bit about, you know, why this is all happening.
I think a lot of this is coming from, frankly, probably from the Me Too movement and other state laws that have been on the books for years and years, and particularly I would think in the area of equal pay laws. Massachusetts, New Hampshire, two states that I practice in primarily, have had laws on the books for many, many years. But there is a groundswell of ensuring equal pay, and for that reason, a lot of those laws are being looked at again, being updated. And in 2019 in particular, we're seeing a very significant number of states who have put bans in place, for example, asking about salary history. And that is all designed to promote equal pay. So we're seeing this in many states, in many cities, you know, having these laws looked at again and brought up to the present time.
So I guess when people say to themselves, okay, wait a minute, you just said, and of course Maine just also is included in that list, but bottom line, when we say that you can't ask about salary, you're not only talking salary, which is one form, but you're talking hourly rate. It's all rates completely, correct?
Right. You're not allowed in many of these states to ask or to even gather. And in some states, if you voluntarily receive that information from an applicant, you can't rely on it. So it's salary, it's wage rates, it's all of that information that would indicate what a prior employer paid somebody who is now applying for a job with you as an employer.
How about reference checks? Can you get that information through a reference check? Or how about those type of, you know, that's a great question in terms of, well, I didn't ask the employee. I'm not getting information for them. It's not on the application, which I know has to have it removed. How about in the reference check area or background check area?
If you're doing a background check or a reference check, you're not supposed to be, again, able to get salary information in many of these states that have this information. really the purpose behind this is that it is pretty well publicized that women and minorities earn less in general. And these laws are really an effort to try to reduce that inequitable treatment for women and minorities. And the idea behind these laws is that if an applicant or a worker has been paid less at a prior employer, and then the new employer says, well, what were you making? What was your hourly wage? What were your benefits? Basically, what were you valued there? And then carries that forward into the new employment situation, you're basically perpetuating that discrimination or what would be potentially discriminatory pay practices. So these laws are really an effort to say what happened before shouldn't matter. You should evaluate the applicant on the basis of some of those objective criteria like merit and background, work background, your actual experience, qualifications, and ultimately when they get to work with you, what is their work ethic? What is their value to your company there? So these laws are really trying to cut into that cycle and break that cycle by prohibiting the employers from asking those questions in any form, whether it's to the applicant or whether it's to through a reference check or a background check, doing whatever research they might do to uncover that information.
You know, it's interesting. I know that these laws are specifically really designed and aimed to end pay discrimination and increase pay equity. Get that. Understand it.
Yep.
Is there a concern that this could make it a little more difficult for employers to almost determine what they should be paying? Now, obviously, they can do salary surveys, they can do different things, but does this concern employees that are on the top end, the higher-level employee, that person who is extremely skilled and has years of service? You know, I've had somebody, for example, who is in their 50s, and they want to talk about what they're making. They want people to know that they're at the top of their game, and they are actually concerned that this does them harm in some way. What's your thought on that?
Employers probably have that same concern, that they want to know that information. And employees who are at the top of their game and want to share that information, I think they certainly still can. And employers can give them that opportunity by asking about salary expectations. So many of these laws are saying you cannot ask. As I mentioned, many of them also say you can't rely. But you can, as an employer and as a prospective employee, identify what the salary expectations are. And even if an employer says to an applicant, I don't want to know, I can't know, you shouldn't tell me because it is not allowed, the applicant can certainly talk about the complexity of the compensation they've earned in the past. So as employees go up the ladder, they're maybe not just getting an hourly wage, they're getting a salary, they might get a bonus, they might have equity, they might get other types of compensation, and those maybe the monetary value shouldn't be discussed, but an employee might be able, or an applicant might be able, to build that in to the discussion. These are the types of things that I would want to look for. And so clearly, in that type of situation, an employer, a prospective employer, will be able to see that this is clearly a person that's savvy and that has had some good experience in the compensation realm without getting into the nitty-gritty of what the amount was.
So one of the parts that's interesting about this is I know that you can't ask and it puts a ban on the question about what somebody makes. But does that also include that employers can't discuss things like, you said, bonuses, like equity, like percentage of commission, like phantom stock, like stock, like any of these things that are company cars or executive health care packages? Can they not talk about anything in regards to that compensation area or ask any questions in those areas? I understand the employee has the right to say whatever they want, and it doesn't ban employees from saying what that is. But can they ask about that in any possible way?
It depends probably on the particular state that the employer is operating in. And so for multi-state employers, they're going to have to look at the range of states that they're operating in and look to see what the statute or the law in that jurisdiction covers. But I will say in Massachusetts, for example, the term wages is very broad, and it actually includes what they say all forms of remuneration for employment. So that's very, very broad. That would include many of the types of benefits and compensation that you just mentioned. So you would need to be very careful in Massachusetts about what you're asking, particularly if you're asking what did you earn, what was the amount of the stock, what was the value of the stock. But again, you can have those discussions as part of negotiations for the new job with the understanding that you're asking about expectations. What would you expect to receive if we provided stock or, you know, equity or a bonus structure? What would you expect? And you may, as an employer, receive some of that information through that conversation. But again, it should be very clear to the applicant or prospective employee that you're not planning to rely on anything that happened in the past. I think it needs to be a very clear conversation. And if an employee, prospective employee, were to disclose that information voluntarily, it's something that you hear all the time, employers should document, document, document. That is definitely one of the things that they should keep a record of if an applicant discloses that voluntarily.
Okay, so that makes sense. I understand that. Let's just get back to a couple of tactical questions. So on an employment application or an online application, obviously, pretty obvious, take the question of asking what their current salary or what they currently make off, right? Simple answer.
Right.
Okay. Can you have the question, what is your expectation of rate of pay, salary, or compensation?
I'm not aware of any state that would prohibit that specific question.
Okay.
And I think that that's a fair question to ask so that it can be clear to the employer whether this person is shooting for the moon.
Okay, so it is a fair question, and especially for employers that have multiple state, you know, all over the area, and they have an online applicant tracking, and they collect online applications, even though a state may not have that ban, the online application in most cases should be generic enough to no longer ask that. Would that be a best practice?
I believe that's a best practice, yes.
Okay. So is there, for states that have additional specific laws, such as California, I know they have some certain things. Doesn't California have always certain things? You have Hawaii, you have Connecticut, you have Vermont, you have different types of exceptions, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But should you have on the application a disclaimer for certain state-specific, if you are a multinational or an organization that covers across the country?
I think that's a great idea. And you see that in the ban-the-box states, where they've prevented or prohibited employers from asking about criminal record history. So that's been something that's been going on for a while. If you're now seeing this increase in state laws preventing employers from asking about salary history, it makes a good deal of sense to put a disclaimer there that says, do not disclose your prior wages or compensation from employment. And that information will not be considered in making an employment decision.
We're talking with Karen Whitley. She's a shareholder with She and Finney Law Firm and member of Labor and Employment Group. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine. DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Karen Whitley, shareholder with She and Finney. She's an employment attorney and member of the Labor and Employment Group. You know, Karen, we've been talking about the legal risks of compensation and, of course, in an era of, hey, we can't ask and you won't tell. So how do we deal with that? And I think we spent a really good amount of time in the first segment getting down to some real tactical meat, right, of what is a best practice, how you can handle it from an application standpoint, and how you and things you really should be careful for. What I want to talk a little bit about now is some of the exceptions that are out there. Some of the we mentioned a little bit towards the end of the last segment. But tell me a little about some of the state exceptions and why they are important to know about.
Sure. I mean, I think it might make sense to start with what you can and cannot do in these various laws, because there's a good number of them out there that are prohibiting salary history questions. But they do that in different ways. Some states specifically prohibit asking about salary. So you can't do that on an application. You can't do it in an interview. You can't do your own research to try to find out that information. So that's probably the largest number of states saying just don't ask. They also, the laws may also say that if you ask about an applicant's salary history and they refuse to tell you, you can't retaliate against them for that. So getting at the same point, but saying it a different way, if you ask and they don't tell, you can't retaliate against them. You can't refuse to hire them because they didn't tell you. An additional way is that the laws might prohibit an employer from taking into account or relying on the pay history if the applicant volunteers that information or if the employer learns about it. And in some states, California and Washington, I believe, and some cities require the employers to give pay scale information if the applicant asks for it. So that's kind of a different twist on things, because we've been talking about what can the employer ask and what they can't ask. And in some states, the applicant might be asked, what are your salary expectations? But they're kind of shooting into a void if they don't know what the salary range might be. So there are a handful of states, maybe two or three states, that allow the employee to ask well, what's the pay scale I'm looking at here? And the employer's required to give it. So those are the general ways that states are looking at this salary history question. But there are some exceptions. So if you have a strict ban saying you can't ask, there are some states that say, well, if the applicant voluntarily discloses a number, what do you do about that? In Connecticut, for example, the employer can ask about the pay history if the applicant voluntarily discloses that. So that's going to just allow the conversation to continue naturally. But as I mentioned earlier, it's really important for the employer to document that the applicant's the one that brought it up. There are some states that if the information is voluntarily disclosed, the employer can actually rely on that information. So Hawaii is one that comes to mind, that if the employee says, this is what I'm making, then the employer in Hawaii can rely on that. And we talked about Maine, which just put its salary ban in place in September, and that state will allow the employer to confirm salary history information after an offer is made or after a job offer has been negotiated. And you see that in a fair number of states where after there's a negotiation that's happened and an offer has been made, there's an opportunity to just confirm that the information the employer relied on is accurate. So, you know, you have a variety of those types of exceptions. New York, the employer can confirm pay history if, when the offer is made, the applicant gives their own salary history. So again, it's an ongoing conversation between the employer and the applicant once a job offer has been made.
And I understand that. And certainly, as we talked about, I just wanted to mention, because I know there's a large listening audience in the Maine area, it does go in effect on September 17th, which I think is important to know in terms of this law. So, you know, one of the things that we're talking about here is, how do you talk? I mean, what happens if you violate the law? I mean, let's just ask that question. Because, look, is there a grace period for employers that have been asking this question for 30, 40, 50 years? And then suddenly they, you know, I mean, I know not knowing the law is not a defense. But, you know, what do you do? What's the situation? How is that going to, you know, how is that going to handle for employers that make a mistake?
Well, hopefully it's a technical mistake that doesn't lead to paying somebody a lower salary. So hopefully the information will be disclosed and the employer will either not rely on it or will be able to say, well, even though we knew that information, this person came into our organization making exactly what they should have compared to everybody else in that same, you know, in that same role or doing comparable work. So hopefully it's a no harm, no foul situation. But if it's, you know, something that the employer does rely on and there is a tendency to then pay that person on the lower end of the scale or maybe even below the low end of the scale, and you have an actual harm that an applicant can point to, you would have, in most states, the possibility of two things. First of all, maybe a penalty of some sort. And I'll say under the Maine law, the penalties are pretty small. I think it's between $100 and $500 per violation. In Massachusetts, for example, if there's somebody who's paid less than they should be as a result of asking these types of questions, there's double damages. So you look at what should the employee have been paid and what were they actually paid, and there's double damages there. You pay them the difference, and then you double it, and then you pay attorney's fees. So there are damages or penalties that come along with that. And there's also the possibility that, again, going back to the idea that this is a law or these laws are designed to break a cycle of pay discrimination, discrimination in pay on the basis of a protected category like gender or race or color, that a violation of a law in this area that prohibits asking about salary could be evidence of discrimination that could land an employer before the state anti-discrimination agency, like the Maine Human Rights Commission, the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination, and agencies like that.
So that's good, at least, in the sense that, you know, employers are going to have to be really careful. I get that. And nobody wants, you know, I'm a big believer that 99.9% of all employers want to do the right thing. I don't think that there's, you know, everybody screaming out there to do the wrong thing. I think that they just, you know, they don't know sometimes. Not that that's an excuse, but that's just the truth. Because they're big, you know, they're building widgets or providing a service. And, you know, you and I keep up on this stuff, but most business owners don't stay glued to their TVs and phones to know whatever's going on in the employment law world. But that's just something that I think is important for them to know, that there is a penalty, right? That that's going to happen,
right?
And that is important for them to know that it could happen. So what are some of the other exceptions that are out there? I know New York, for example, has an interesting pay history part. So talk about New York, and I believe there's also Michigan and Wisconsin.
Right. New York I mentioned a little bit earlier, and that basically says that they can confirm pay history if the employee or applicant provides their pay history. So they're again, that ongoing discussion about pay, if the applicant provides the information, then the employer can take that step towards confirming. So they really fall in the category with the other states like Maine, Delaware, Vermont, Hawaii, and Connecticut, where there's an exception once the employee has disclosed or shared information. Two that are really different, kind of swimming against the tide, are Michigan and Wisconsin, which actually they don't prohibit asking about salary. They prohibit salary history bans. And in other words, those states say to local governments, you cannot tell employers that they can't ask about that information. So local governments will have to allow private employers to ask for that salary information. Interestingly, in Michigan, and I don't understand the difference here, but Michigan, the government can't ask about salary history until there's a conditional offer of employment made. So the local agencies, state agencies, can't get salary information until after they've made an offer. So that differs from private employment. But I think those two states, Michigan and Wisconsin, are reacting to the fact that many states which have not addressed this have local cities and towns coming up with their own ordinances or laws to govern the salary history question. And so you risk having sort of a patchwork within a state. And it makes it very, very hard when you're doing business in that state and you have people living in different towns and cities and maybe workplaces that span a couple of locations in a state. And very difficult for multi-state employers who happen to have a location in a city that has a salary history ban, but they're looking at the state level to know what they can and cannot ask.
Well, that's interesting. It seems to be definitely in the opposite
right.
of the trends. But then again, you know, that is the challenge. I guess, you know, when you really think about it, as you said that, I'm thinking to myself, if you're really an organization that is across the country, you have to be so careful with not only the federal, not only the state, not only the city, but now local jurisdictions as well, and all the rules that go along with that. It is a, as you said, a hodgepodge, a mix, a mesh of everything that's out there today, isn't it?
Right. And it's very difficult because if you take, as a multi-state employer, if you take the approach, we're going to comply with the strictest law. We're not going to ask questions about salary history. We're not going to rely on them. We're going to put a disclaimer down. You want to comply with the most strict requirements. But if you don't know what all the strict requirements are because they're at a very local level, that's going to make it very difficult.
Yeah, no, it really will. That makes it a real challenge in terms of setting policy and setting consistency across the organizational mandate, right? Especially if you're going across different areas. All right, the last question I ask a little bit about is, and we talked a little bit about it, but I want to clarify one more time. And this is if somebody does reference checks after they make an offer or before they make an offer. In some states, they're allowed to verify, right, after they've made an offer. In other states, they aren't. What's the best practice on that?
It probably makes sense, especially for multi-state employers, it probably makes sense not to do anything with that information. I really struggle understanding employers feel the need to know. But there's a good argument to be made that as a separate independent business with its own culture, its own pay scale, its own requirements, job duties, a way of valuing people, why employers, other than the fact that they've always done it that way, need to look at prior salary at a different employer as a measure of what that new applicant should be paid. So it just makes a lot of sense to find out as much as you can about that person's experience, what they actually did, their level of authority and responsibility. Find out expectations about what they're looking for so you don't have a disgruntled person walking in the door. Make sure that the salary that they are, or wages that they're being paid when they walk in the door, are commensurate, you know, equal to, comparable to what people are making, and not rely on that prior salary history, even if it's voluntarily disclosed, and even if they do have the legal right to go back and confirm. And I just add another thought on that is, if the thought of going back and confirming is to check whether an applicant was truthful, I think most people jumping from one job to another would agree that they bump up their salary a little bit when they're reporting that. So I think that's an accurate, or that's probably
that's being honest, right?
Yeah.
People say I made a little bit more.
Exactly.
Yeah, or what they feel they were worth is
exactly.
You know, that's another interpretation. You know, we're going to get into the next segment here in a second as we break off. I just want you to think about it. We're going to talk about some specifics locally, and we're going to talk about Massachusetts and New Hampshire because I know that's the specific area. But I also want to talk about, when we come back, setting up a proper compensation plan. Because this becomes so much more important in terms of power, salary and pay grades and job descriptions and all that, now that we're talking about it. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello. I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Our guest today is Karen Whitley. She's a shareholder and employment attorney with Sheehan Finney Law Firm in Manchester, New Hampshire, and of course a member of the Labor and Employment Group there at that institution. Hey, you know, Karen, we've been having an amazing conversation about the risks, about compensation today and all the new things that are going on. The last segment, we talked a lot about, the different ways you can discuss this now, the ways you can't discuss it now, the exceptions, the state rules, the state regulations, the mandates, the local rules, the local regulations. I'm tired just thinking about it. But one of the things I just want to talk about, and I mentioned at the end of the last segment, is, you know, how important today now does it become? Do you have a truly defendable compensation process that you really understand the market values, the compensation pay grades, the strategies, the job descriptions? Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I can point really to the laws that talk about when you can have differences in pay. And I think those are provide a really good guideline for employers. So, for example, in Massachusetts, in Massachusetts law that just took effect July of last year, of 2018, that law requires equal pay for comparable work. That's similar language to a number of other states. And those states say you can pay people, you should pay people the equal pay for comparable work, and there's a discussion about what comparable work is. But then they do say you can have exceptions, and you can pay people differently based on different reasons. So in setting up a compensation scheme, or a compensation process, I think it's going to be very, very important as these laws take hold, and keep in mind so many of them are coming into effect in 2019, that employers take a really hard look at how they are setting compensation, what they're looking at, and how are they distinguishing among people who make different wages, different salaries for comparable work. So just as an example, in Massachusetts, an employer can't pay somebody of one gender differently from somebody of a different gender for comparable work unless the differences are based on a seniority program, a merit-based system, a system that measures quantity or quality of production or sales, and perhaps the geographic location where the person is. And then the big one is education, training, and experience. So if an employer is allowed to make a distinction based on education, training, and experience between either two applicants or an applicant and a current employee, they're going to need to really spell out in job descriptions what they're looking for, what they need, and they need to set in advance, plan in advance, what value does that education, training, and experience have for this role so that they have a very good idea of where the target is and whether the applicant meets that. But if they don't have those factors laid out, and additionally, travel is another factor that an employer can look at, but if they don't have those six factors under Massachusetts law really built into their compensation process, they're going to find themselves in a situation where they're not paying people where they should be, and they could be subjecting themselves to those penalties and maybe agency or administrative audits that we talked about earlier.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. And look, I know we do, certainly in CMA, we do a lot of compensation work, and I think we have just, it really has been our busiest year ever, and I think the really reason is for just this, right, this issue, is that employers want to make sure that it's defensible, right, and want to make sure that it makes sense and that it adds up and that, it, you know, somebody, if they challenge it because there are more challenges coming, they can really defend it, and I think that's an important aspect of it. So let's move on to a couple of local states because I think it's important that we talk a little bit about where you're an expert in, which is certainly New Hampshire and Massachusetts. So what do we see locally in New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire, we're in an interesting time because New Hampshire has been trying to pass, or there have been people in New Hampshire trying to pass a bill prohibiting this, the salary history question that we've been talking about this morning. And that has not been effective yet. There was an effort in March of 2018, and it didn't pass. But this year, it's, I think, gotten a little bit closer. And in May of this year, there was a move to pass a bill that would have banned both credit checks and salary history questions. You know, I think it got a little bit further. There was a little bit more public outcry, and a number of businesses in June sent a letter to the governor saying this should not happen. Even though it had passed and gone to the governor vetoed that bill in July. So we're in a place in New Hampshire now where there is a law that says in New Hampshire that employers have to pay equal pay for equal work when that work requires equal skill, equal effort, and responsibility. And there are some of those same exceptions that we talked about in Massachusetts, you know, if there's a difference in merit and education and those types of things, seniority. In New Hampshire, there is a law out there that says equal pay for equal work. But it is not the same as prohibiting the salary history question. And so we are in a place where there has to be equal pay for equal work, but this one big loophole has not been closed in New Hampshire.
So that makes perfect sense. And, of course, you know, from these are all political decisions that will get made.
Exactly.
And we know that's just the reality of it. So, you know, I think one of the more important ones is Massachusetts, because obviously they have a very much more detailed and much more strict laws in Massachusetts. And I think it's important that employers who do work in that state really understand it. So let's take through the employment here for the next 3-4 minutes.
Sure. So in 2016, the Massachusetts Equal Pay Act was amended, and it took until July 1st, 2018, to take effect. So there was education of employers. There was a lot of talk about what this was going to mean. I would say I still talk to employers who don't know that they can't ask about salary history. So we potentially didn't do as good a job as we should have in Massachusetts making this law known. But right now, as of July of 2018, the law in Massachusetts is that employers can't discriminate on the basis of gender in paying their wages, salary, wage rate. And as I mentioned earlier, the definition of wages in Massachusetts is all forms of remuneration. So potentially if somebody of one gender receives a lower bonus than another, that would be something that would violate this law as well. But the law in Massachusetts didn't just talk about salary history inquiries or questions. It also said that there has to be pay transparency. So employees need to be able to talk about their wages with their coworkers. And again, that's a movement that's also taking hold in a lot of different states. And many of the states that have this salary history ban question, that is another element of the laws that they have too. They're also saying, and when you hire your employees, they have to be free to talk about this stuff. So Massachusetts made that a part of the law as well. And Massachusetts also talked about employer self-evaluations. So once employers hire somebody and they're in the workplace and they are subject to maybe a discrimination suit on the basis of pay, if an employer has done a self-evaluation, they have basically a defense. So if they have in the past, I believe, 3 years, if they've done that evaluation and they've made some changes, and if they can demonstrate that they've made some reasonable progress to basically eliminating any of the wage differences, then they're going to have an affirmative defense. So a big tool for employers to have in the whole pay equity realm.
There's no question that they certainly have in Massachusetts a much more in-depth law with a lot more, what we would say, detail in terms of employers need to really know about it. Well, we're talking with Karen Whitley. She's a shareholder at Sheehan Finney, employment attorney, of course, and member of the Labor and Employment Group. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest, who has done a great job, is Karen Whitley, shareholder for Sheehan Finney, employment attorney, and a member of the Labor and Employment Group there. You know, we've been talking about the legal risks of compensation, especially now in an era of you can't ask, and they aren't going to tell you. So what I'd like to do here as we wrap up the show for the last few minutes is talk about some best practices, some things that really, as we wrap this up, what employers need to do to make sure they stay compliant.
Sure. Number one, train the people talking to the candidates. That is a very big deal. Training them not to ask this information about salaries, past salary information, wage information, and really to change their mindset that they should be looking forward into their compensation structure and not relying on past information. And also training those people what to do if the information is voluntarily disclosed, which includes maybe changing the subject or letting the applicant know that that's not something that you consider, but certainly documenting that the applicant raised that issue and not the person doing the interview or the screening. So training and documenting, I think, number one and two on my list. Another best practice, I think, we've talked about removing inquiries from the employment applications, any questions about prior pay, perhaps adding a disclaimer that if you ask about salary expectations, that you make clear that those applicants shouldn't put their current salary, shouldn't give you that information. And I think from a multi-state employer perspective, or anyone who operates in a jurisdiction where the laws maybe aren't settled and are not fully formed yet, we want to be very, very careful that employers are making sure that they comply with the most strict law where they have operations, and that they stay on top of developments in the states and even the cities in which they operate, because these laws have been coming fast and furious, and it's really important that they're not asking questions that they shouldn't, or they're not relying on information that they shouldn't that's voluntarily disclosed. So figure out where you're operating, what the laws are, and really stay on top of what's going on there. I think that really the most important, though, is understanding, changing the mindset at the employer, and making sure that you're looking at objective factors to set compensation and not relying on past wage or salary information, because you don't want to be in a situation where you're accused of discriminating on the basis of pay and continuing a cycle of discrimination in pay if somebody's salary information is considered and it shouldn't have been.
You know, those are great points, and certainly it's a brave new world out there in terms of hiring, isn't it?
It definitely is.
Well, I think you've done a great job today providing us some really best practices and really discussing the importance of this. And I know that employers are paying attention, and they certainly will be able to make sure that they are now compliant. And by the way, I'm sure that everybody would like to know how to get a hold of you. So we will have that on HRPowerHour.com. You can go to that right after the site. Karen's information will be there, bio, and a way to reach her directly. Karen, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we're going to be right back with the HR Tip of the Week. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Welcome to management. Here's your keys, here's your alarm code, and here's your lawyer. Hi, I'm Ben Ford from Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group with your tip of the week. Used to be that individual supervisors could not be held individually liable for acts of discrimination. Courts have regularly held that the term employer meant company and not supervisor. Well, that's all changing. A handful of states have passed statutes subjecting the individual supervisor for liability when they act outside the scope of their employment. These statutory changes create more questions than they answer. For example, what happens when an employee sues just their supervisor and not the company? Does the company need to provide the supervisor with a lawyer? What happens when a company wants to settle the case, but the supervisor, who has been named individually, wants to clear their name? Does the company need to provide a lawyer in that case? Watch this space carefully. And if you have one of these situations, give Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group a call.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill Dana. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.